Take your Bibles, please turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. And as you're turning there, I'd like to read a couple verses from the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 5, you can be listening as you're turning to 1 Peter chapter 2. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Tonight we're going to be looking at the topic of a Christian testimony, the importance of a Christian testimony in a godless world. No, God wants our light to shine brightly. We ought to be properly reflecting Christ in our lives. And it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and what? And glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know, does your life tonight properly reflect upon God? Does it bring glory to God? Do people have a better understanding of who God is through your life? And in 1 Peter chapter 2, we looked at verse 12 last time, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles or honorable, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for what? For the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. First of all, I'd like to see that in our testimony must properly reflect upon a God of law and order. It says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. All right, our conversation is to be honest among the Gentiles. It ought to be honorable. You know, we have a God of law and order. But if we go out in the world and just live however we want to live, we're in charge. Doesn't matter, what this law is or, what that law is. I mean, it doesn't matter if they want me to pay sales tax. It doesn't matter if they want me to, drive a certain way. It doesn't matter if they want me to, do this. I'm just going to do what I want to do. Well, it's not reflecting upon the God of law and order. And obviously there is a role that government is to play. All right, it's for the punishment of evildoers, for the praise of them that do well, and believers are to live under that authority as they live their lives. Now, we're not going to get into the whole matter of tyranny and all of that tonight, but we are to live reflecting that God of law and order. You know, you can go, the United States, if you go to Kenya, Stephen can probably talk to you about the lack of order in the driving over there. You know, we have Christian roots in our country, and because of that, there is still a semblance of order. I mean, you go over there and you want to make another lane, just make another lane. You know, probably if they're out in the middle of the country and there's a stop sign, they're just going to do whatever they want. I mean, I don't know for sure, but, drive on the side of the road, drive wherever you want to drive. But our lives are to reflect. And when we get away from that, there's chaos. And so there's a purpose to law and order. Now, unfortunately, in our country, as we get away from those Christian roots, you can see some of the riots. You can see some of these things that have taken place as people just take matters into their own hands. And they become their own government, so to speak. And look at the mess that happens. But as believers, we are to reflect upon that God of law and order and submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. There is a purpose for them. And as believers, we need to reflect properly upon that God of law and order and put ourselves under the law and order in our own society. We need to recognize the chain of command and the delegation of powers. Notice this says, it says, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers. All right. There is, you know, you can't have one person that watches over everybody. All right. There's going to be a delegation of powers and we need to recognize that. You know, if the policeman happens to pull you over, you know, or you don't ask him, well, are you the governor? Can you tell me, you know, can you? No, there's a delegation of powers and we need to recognize that as believers, all right? They're carrying out the duty that has been given to them. All right, we see this purpose for the punishment of evildoers, for the praise of them that do well. You know, and even in our own families, we can see, you know, as you punish sin, but then you do what? You also praise good behavior. All right, and so there's a twofold thing here in carrying out a society that is well ordered. There's two ways to do that. There's punishing evil and there's praising the right type of behavior. But then notice in verse 15, it says, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. You know, when you live an upright and righteous life, there are going to be ignorant people. There are going to be foolish men out there that don't understand the lifestyle that you are living. You know, they're going to be people that speak evil of you. But we're in a spiritual battle. And you don't just go up to them and say, all right, you say one more word, I'm going to, you know, tie something over your mouth and I'm going to, you know, keep your mouth shut. You know, stop saying that about me. No. What does the Bible say? We need to be faithful. We need to continue to do that which is right. You know, we're in a spiritual battle and we don't use physical means to fight the warfare. We just continue to do what is right. And that right behavior can what? Put their foolish talk to silence. Because eventually they will not be able to speak against what you are doing. You know, as believers, we need to be faithful in continuing to do that which is right. For in due season ye shall reap if you what? If you faint not. You know, sometimes it's going to seem like, is it worth it? You know, I do something right and it just seems like I just get, you know, maybe it's at the workplace and you try to do what's right and there's this worker that doesn't like you and they're just speaking out against you. And then, you know, you go this way and then there's another worker that just speaks out against you. You know, how do you respond? Well, you know what? You just continue to do what's right. And guess what's going to happen? Well, eventually what they've said is going to be put to silence. Because the faithfulness that you've exemplified will come out. You know, we want everything to be immediate. It doesn't always happen that way. I think Luke was mentioning in his message Sunday night. We need to continue to live by the principles of God's word. Continue to uphold that testimony. So we need to properly reflect upon a God of law and order. But then also we need to be properly reflect the freedom that we have in Christ. Notice what it says in verse 16. It says, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. You know, Christianity is, I don't know if I like using the word religion, all right, but it's a religion of freedom, all right? It's not something of bondage. All right, but there's freedom, but that freedom must be carried out in the proper manner. You know, where Christianity goes across the world, what is there? there's freedom. Where there is not Christianity, what do you have? You have bondage and tyranny. Now look at our own country. As we get away from the Christian principles that we have founded upon, what's being brought into our land? Tyranny. Bondage. Look at other countries. Look at Islamic nations. Do they live under freedom? No. They live under tyranny. They live under bondage. You know, if they do the wrong thing, boom. If they don't follow, you know, those Islamic laws. But we're free. But, you know, and there's so much freedom in Galatians 5:1, the freedom from bondage. It talks about stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free, and be not again entangled with a yoke of bondage. You know, the freedom that we have in Christ. You know, tonight, if you're trying to earn favor with God, you know, what a system of bondage that is. You're never going to be able to do enough good works to earn favor with God. You're going to constantly be in a system of bondage. But in Christ, we have freedom. He's paid our complete sin debt for us. You know, imagine if you were living under a debt. You know, who's, you know, the richest man in the world now, Elon Musk. Well, imagine if you had a debt greater than even he could bear, he could pay. You know, that debt. Always living under something you know you knew you never could pay, but trying to constantly pay it. What a terrible life that would be. But that's how it's like if you're trying to earn your way to heaven. You're never going to be able to pay that debt. It's a system of bondage, a system of good works. But we've been set free from that bondage. In John 8 and verse 32, you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. The truth brings freedom to our lives. You think of the present day in which we live and the lack of freedom. You know, those that, as our country drifts in its morality, and as they, the different perversions that are making their way all across our country, and it's such a system of bondage. You know, they want these operations on these young children. And what are they doing? They're just going into a system of bondage where they're never going to be able to be what God wanted them to be. And the rest of their lives, they're going to be living in that bondage. You know, but we're free. But there might be a proper freedom. It says is free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, not a cover just to be able to do maybe the sin that you want to do. No, there's a proper freedom, just like in Jude. You know, the people there, the ungodly people, were turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. No, there's a proper freedom in Christ. Notice, not a cloak of maliciousness, but as the what? As the servants of God. You know, we don't have a freedom to indulge in sin. We need to remember that we are the servants of Christ. Now, that doesn't mean we're in bondage, so to speak. Why? Because Christ is the what? The best master that you could ever have. You know, imagine if you could pick whatever boss you wanted to have at work. Maybe throughout your life you've had different bosses, and you can think of one. You say, you know what? That's the one I would want to have as my boss. You know, would it be difficult to work for that person? Would you need to follow his commands? Well, yes. Does that mean you're under bondage because you're following his commands? No. All right, but we are the servants of Christ. And he is the best master that we could ever have. And in our Christian life, we need to reflect that. We don't just go out because we're free and now we can do whatever we want. No, we need to reflect upon the master that we have. We need to properly reflect that freedom that we have in Christ. You know, and in times of persecution, and later on it talks about that persecution, you know what? There may be certain elements of bondage that come, but a believer can always be reminded that they're what? That they're free. You know, why do you think some of these believers in Russia were able to have that great joy? Because In Christ, they were free. Even though outwardly they were under bondage, inwardly they were free. And that's something that we need to keep in mind. And what a great testimony that can be to the outside world when we remember, when we live like we're really free. And remember that sin brings bondage. And, you know, so many people, they think they're just going to live it up. And it's not living it up. It's bringing terrible things into their lives. You know, young people tonight, you look at the outside world and you think, oh, look at what I'm missing out on. You know, so many young people that have just gone into the world because they think they're missing something. But they don't know the freedom that comes by doing what's right. And the bondage that comes when they give themselves to the world. You know, and so many people that have ruined their lives and probably wish they could relive them because they bought into the devil's idea of what freedom is. We have real freedom in Christ. And there's a freedom that comes in your spirit because of what Christ has set us free from. So we need to properly reflect upon that freedom. But then notice as it continues on, we need to properly reflect God in our relationships. He says, honor all men. All right, we need to show proper respect for all men. You know, there's different relationships. That might be going to the grocery store and, you know, the cash register lady or man, whoever it is, messes up. You know, well, how do we respond? We need to honor all men. It could be some other person in your life. Maybe you're at the DMV, and who likes maybe going to the DMV? Now, thankfully, a lot of that stuff you can do online now. But so many things in our lives, and we need to remember that the Bible says to honor all men. We need to show that proper respect. Are we reflecting Christ in our lives? Love the brotherhood. You know, as believers, we ought to especially show love to those people that are in Christ. God wants us to love other believers. I mean, we have the greatest thing in common, and that is the Lord Jesus, the salvation through Christ. We have the same master, the Lord Jesus Christ, and there ought to be a love. As Christ said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. You have love one towards another, love as he had loved them. We need to show that proper love to one another. Honor all men, love the brotherhood. Then it says, fear God. You know, having a fear for God is so important to our Christian testimony. Why? Well, go to Romans chapter 3 and verse 18. Notice those that are away from God and their attitude. You know, we could back up a little bit, you know, and get the context. What, verse 9, what then are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is in their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. In the way of peace have they not known. Then notice what it says. There is no fear of God before their eyes. You know, a believer ought to have the fear of God. We need to have the right relationship to God. And one is to have a proper fear, a proper reverence, a proper awe of him. Recognizing that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. You know, how do we respond when no one is watching? Are we more just concerned about what people think of us? or what people think of our God. You know, maybe a little bit more humorous story of a young attorney who was really concerned with his image, but he started his first practice and he was ambitious and excited about how great his firm would soon be. His phone had not yet been hooked up, but he quickly picked up the phone when he heard footsteps toward his office. Looking as dignified as possible, the new attorney said, yes, this is Attorney Jones. I need to do depositions tomorrow. Then a man walked into his office. Can I help you? Asked the young attorney. Yes, I'm here to turn on your phone service. So he didn't fake him out, but you know, sometimes we like to give a good image of ourselves, but we need to remember that the one that we're ultimately giving, reflecting upon is the Lord Jesus Christ. And one way to do that at all times is to fear God. But then we also need to have a proper respect for authority. It says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Honor the king. You know, Christians are going to be observed in their relationship to authority that has been placed over us in this world. You know, how do we respond? You know, if that person at work knows that you're cheating on your taxes or something, you know, what are they going to think about you? Well, we need to honor the king, the Bible says. We need to have that proper respect for authority, reflecting upon a God who is our authority. Then there also needs to be a proper submission in the workplace. It says, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the forward. You know, it's easy to obey somebody that tells us in the right manner, that, you know, is kind to us, that, but it's hard to obey those that do it in the wrong way or give us some, you know, give us something or do something unjustly. You know, but the Bible says that we need to have that proper submission. You know, maybe you have a boss tonight that's hard to get along with. But you know what? As Christians, we need to realize there's a greater cause than that one person. And realize that the greater cause is how are we reflecting upon Christ. We need to take that job seriously to the very end. You know, there was an elderly carpenter that was ready to retire. He told his contractor of his plans to leave the house building business and live a more leisurely life with his wife, enjoying his extended family. The contractor was sorry to see his good worker go and asked if he could build just one more house as a personal favor. The carpenter agreed, but in time it was easy to see that his heart was not in his work. He resorted to shoddy workmanship and used inferior materials. It was an unfortunate way to end his career. When the carpenter finished his work and the contractor came to inspect the house, he handed the front door key to the carpenter. "This is your house," he said, "my gift to you." You know, what a shock. If he had only known he was building his own house, he would have done it so differently. You know, in our work, are we working, you know, like we're working for God? Are you doing your work like, you know what, I'm building this? You know, if building it for ourselves, we do it a certain way, but building it for God, we should do even better. You know, in our testimony, how are we reflecting upon the God that we're serving, even in those menial tasks that we're doing at work? You know, young people, you're going to be at Grow Club tomorrow. You know, you might be trying to impress one of your leaders, but ultimately, are you trying to impress God? That's the most important one to think about in our work. We need to properly reflect God, Christ in the workplace, in our relationships, but also we need to properly reflect Christ in our responses. It says, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your fault, ye shall take it patiently? You know, most of us think, you know, we did something wrong. All right, I'm just going to zip my lips. I did wrong. I'm sorry. And we think we're doing good. You know, but the Bible says that's just expected. What glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your fault, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. This is pleasing to God. You know, God sees what is happening, and if we can have, we can reflect Christ in our responses, and then it goes into some different verses. We'll look at those in another message. We can bring great glory to Him, even when it's so hard to do. It says, for this is thankworthy. Basically, I believe the word there for thankworthy is the word for grace. You know what? I mean, that's really exemplifying grace in our lives. When we take that grief, when we take those injustices that are done to us and respond in the right way. You know, are you concerned about your Christian testimony? Our world needs our light to shine brightly. You know, the darkness is growing darker. But what an opportunity for our light to shine brightly for Christ. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, will you just strengthen us? Lord, how it's difficult many times, Lord, to have a proper reflection of you, Lord, and we fail. But Lord, may you strengthen us that in this needy world in which we live, Lord, we might be lighthouses for you. You know, with heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, is the Lord working in your life? Maybe you're a young person. Maybe you're a teenager tonight. And you've been looking at the outside world. And you've been getting disillusioned by it, thinking, oh, why do I have all these restrictions upon my life? When real freedom is found in Christ. You know what? You could have such a testimony to young people around you if you would catch that spirit of freedom, of doing what's right in Christ, instead of falling to the temptations of the devil who wants to throw your life into bondage. You know, maybe you're an adult tonight. You know, there's a relationship in your life that, you know what, you just haven't been reflecting Christ. You know, and our world tonight needs believers that are going to reflect Christ, that are going to be the light, that are the light of the world. Maybe it's another authority in your life. Maybe it's a boss. Maybe it's something else. But hope tonight that you'll allow the Lord to change that area, you know, and as you go into work tomorrow, that you'll do it for Him, for His sake, that Christ might be uplifted through what you're doing. Lord, may you use this, your word, in each one of our hearts tonight. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.